Genesis, please, chapter number 35. Genesis chapter 35. We're going back to the same scriptures that we were over with today. And we're going to look at this tonight a little bit more, try to break it down. I'll try to give you just enough review to get us where we are. And by the way, if you want to listen to us, we've been able to put more out on the internet. And we put more on YouTube than we used to have. Matter of fact, we only had about two or three. And I think we got seven or eight on there now. And if you don't know where it's at, it's a lot easier to get the public to go to that than it is to sermon audio. We got 500-something messages on sermon audio, but it's harder for people to find that. I give them a card, they'll say, we don't have no internet. But most everybody's got these crazy phones. They call them smartphones. I call them crazy phones, but they're smartphones. And all you got to do is go to YouTube and type in the search line, Dennis Deals, and it'll pop up there and you can get them. There you are. And it's a lot easier to get that out to the public than it is through sermon audio. So we got both avenues on that, and I appreciate what God's doing through that. And it's even free. How about that? Praise God. You don't have to pay to put it out there. Amen. Don't have to pay to listen either, by the way. Amen. You said, I wouldn't. Well, all right. Genesis 35. Genesis 35, it don't hurt my feelings. Genesis 35, verse 16, let's stand. Genesis 35, verse 16 said, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. And that's where we'll stop at. You can be seated and let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom tonight. We pray that the power of God might fall, and Lord, the presence of God might open our minds, touch our tongue. May we speak the words that you'd have us to say. Lord, may it find the lodging place in the heart of that when it needs it the most tonight. Lord, may we listen, may we hear, may we comprehend, open our understanding. We'll give you the praise, the glory for it all, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now, I told you this morning three major things that we have a problem with in our lifetime dealing with self, and we're going to deal with that again tonight. But there's four things that will cause it. There's more than that, but I'm giving you four things that causes these three things to be a problem to us. Now, you remember this message this morning, Benoni, and we remember Rachel. She's the one who named him that. She's dying. In her last wish, I guess, she's naming her son Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. The son of my sorrow. And then we find the husband. Who's the husband, by the way? I didn't even tell you this morning. Amen. Who? Amen. All right, I just wanted to see if you know. Jacob, I give you a hint. He worked 14 years for Rachel. And we know, you remember the story between Rachel and Jacob. But now Jacob named him Benjamin. And the name Benjamin means the son of my right hand. And you remember I talked to the young ones this morning and I said, you can be either a son of the right hand or a daughter of the right hand. Or you can be a son of sorrow, or sorrow to your parents, or you can be a blessing to your parents. Everybody in this building has been, or could be, or will have been, amen, or one, the other. You've been a blessing, amen, or you've been a sorrow, amen. I'd hate to think tonight that we were a sorrow to our parents, but a lot of people are, amen. And that just seems the way that it wants to go in this life, amen. So I'm challenging you young folks. Now these four things that gives you problems with these three things of self, if we can just get that out of our children while they're young, and when they get grown they don't have them four things, brother, I believe we'll have sons and daughters of our right hand. Justin speaking about this morning, I spoke at the restaurant today, I was speaking and to the lady that waited on our table, and I told her what we preached on. And she said this to me. She said, my mother and my daddy, they were precious to me. They were precious to me all the days of their life, and they died. I waited on them, helped them, and all those sort of things. And I trust tonight that you can say the same thing, that you loved your parents. Amen. If you don't, amen, you ought to get right with it. I don't care what they did or what you might have thought they did. I want to tell you tonight, they're your parents. Amen. And that's why the Bible said in the Word of God, children, honor thy father and thy mother. That's one of the requirements. And that is actually one of the commandments. And God said that your days may be long upon the earth. Now, if you want to cut your days short, just dishonor your parents. Amen. People dishonor God, they get in trouble. You dishonor your parents, you get in trouble. Now, with that said, we'll go with the message tonight. I said tonight, the first thing that seems to happen in our churches to people is this thing called self-will. The self-will, we have self-will. You know what that is? It's plain selfishness, putting self first. We won't dwell on that because we already have a little bit. But I talked about the reason that we have self-will. Two main things cause that, and that is ill temper. And if you want to put it down in another way, put it down as bad temper. And I said idleness. Those two things, you let your children get by with them when they're little. I'll guarantee you, you'll have problems with it when they get grown. Amen. Temper's something. I hear them talk about it today. And they'll say, well, so-and-so's got a temper problem. And they put them in what they call today, amen, quote, quote, they put them in anger management. And I believe that we ought to put everybody with an anger problem in anger management. Amen. Right here it is. Here's the counselor. Amen. Here's the medicine. That's right. Amen. Drink about 3 chapters of Genesis. Amen. Swallow about 4 pills of Exodus. Amen. Stir you up a little liquid of Leviticus. And keep on going down. Brother, I'll guarantee you when you get through, it'll take care of some of that anger that's in your heart. But if you don't get that out of your children's life when they're young, they're going to have problems with it when they get older. Amen. I know that to be so. Amen. Well, you said, preacher, I'm just a chip off the old block. Mama done it. Daddy did it. And so I got the right to it. You cannot prove that from the Bible. I told you that this morning. Amen. It's high time you stopped it. It's high time you quit. There's some old habits that you've got from mama and daddy down through the years. Everybody in here has. Amen. Amen. I guarantee you. And if you'll just look at it and see if some of those habits you've got, and I know some of them's done said in there, the Bible don't say this, but people do, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Now that's not a Bible term. But I found out that's so. And if you've been raised with certain things in your mind, amen, I'll guarantee you they'll stay with you. But if they're not with the Bible, you need to get rid of them and get self out of the way. And then we said not only ill temper, bad temper will cause that. You know what that ill temper and bad temper will do? It'll make you critical. Amen. It'll make you critical and it'll put hatred in your heart. Many people are living with hatred in their heart, being critical. Amen. If you're a critical person, you criticize everything. You probably had a mama or a daddy or an uncle, an aunt, or a grandmother or a granddaddy that were critical. It's in the bloodline, you say. Well, it's high time you got it out of there and got the Bible in. Ooh, preacher, that's hard sayings. I'm telling you it's the truth. Amen. I know the counselors wouldn't like this. Those folks that go into this anger management, they wouldn't like my theology. Amen. But it's not mine anyhow. It's the Bible. Now, we talked about not only bad temper, ill temper, but we talked about idleness. You let your children get by with doing nothing and not give them any opportunities to make up and do things and give them any obligations in life, and you raise them up to let them have their way when they want it, doing what they want to do, buy them everything that they want to have. And I'll guarantee you when they're 45, you'll still be doing the very same thing if you don't put your foot down. If you don't put it down when you're young and when they're young, you'll be doing it when they're old and when you're old. And they'll get you retirement before you get to use it. Amen. Now, I know what I'm saying just plain practical. You've seen it over and over and over. And I have too. I've noticed it down through the years. Amen. We teach them to have the best. We do. We want our kids to have the best. We want them to have the best. We'll suffer that they'll have the best. Amen. We never get the best. Amen. I remember this in raising my kid. My wife and I got to talking about it. Maybe I shouldn't have spoken about it today because it makes this message even longer. But we were speaking about it today. I never will forget Bine. How many of you remember when there was a place in Cornelia called Mary's Appliance and Furniture? Amen. That's how we started off. We got our furniture down. We didn't go in and pick that fine bedroom suit. Amen. We got the cheapest thing we could find. Amen. Some of you young folks wouldn't even think about starting off housekeeping with the stuff we had. What people didn't give us, some of it was shake, rattle, and roll when we got it. We had to prop it up, some of it against the wall for it to stand. And then we went to Mary's down there, and they sold us those things and paid for it every week or every month. Well, we had an old couch and chair I never will forget. We had that thing as a green, ugly-looking green. My boys probably don't remember it. They wore it out. They tore it up. But I'm sure they don't remember it. Carried that thing down to Atlanta, Georgia. And here it was. It coming apart, shredded up. And I looked at that. I hated to see the church folks even come and see me. We got to get us something to hang that thing on, I believe. You drop it every service. Amen. And you know what? We had that old green couch, the old green chair, and it's shredded up. So we decided what we'll do is go down and buy us some fabric and we will cover that thing because we could not afford to make another one or to buy another one. And we went down and Mama found some anaugahyde. Matter of fact, it was imitation anaugahyde. I don't even know what anauga is, but anyhow, we got some of the hide. And we put it together. And we even got them little furniture buttons and drove them in and made it look pretty. And everybody come by and said, "Whoo, where'd you get your new couch?" I said, "That's the same one we've been sitting on. It just looks good now." We toted that thing from Atlanta to South Carolina. Amen. That's right. Kept that thing because we couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford it. But one day, look at that old fella said, he come into the church, he said, "We're going to get you a new, he didn't say a word. I went home one Wednesday night after church. They had got in the pastorium and they had put in a $1,500, that's a pretty good size thing, $1,500 Broy Hill outfit. Now that's way back yonder. $1,500 won't hardly buy you a recliner anymore. Amen. But you know what? We went in there and they had one of them Broy Hill things in it. Had them little things that's got the lights up there and got a jug there. You never have to water it, but it's got some kind of plants in it. It looked like frogs lived in it to me. But I looked at that. I never seen such a thing in all my life. I sat down in. I told my wife, I said, "This don't even feel like me." And he took my other outfit, amen, down to his house. And here we are. I thought everything's fine. I bragged about it, what God had done. And guess what? One night, this fella calls up. He said, "Preacher, I hate to tell you. I don't want to tell you. It's about all I can do to tell you." I said, "Well, just go ahead and tell me." He said, "I can't pay for that thing." I said, "It ain't paid for." He said, "No, it ain't paid for. I can't pay for it. They're coming to get it in the morning. They're going to come in." I said, "You're going to come and get my living room suit?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Not at my house. I am not seeing the repossessors back up to my door and get that. Have you got my old furniture?" He said, "I sure have." I said, "Bring it over here tonight." And I swapped it out with him. And here come that little anaugahyde couch again. Put that thing in the living room. Now I'm talking about how we got to start. And here we was. Put that thing in the living room. Put that chair over there. Me and my wife's done sitting down over. And about that time, a little old mouse run out of that chair. That fella had rats. And I run over there and tried to kill the rat. He run back up in the chair. I opened the door, took the chair. I'm a running with it to the door. I set it in the carport. My wife said, "Snakes will get in it." Sitting on the carport. So I picked it up and set it up on the top of the car. And I said, I'll get the rat out of it tomorrow. Next day I went out to beat the daylights out of the rat. Tried to get him out. No rat nowhere. Brought that chair back in there, put it in the living room. And I reckon she's satisfied. We had no problem. But about 3 or 4 days later, we're driving up the road. She opens up the dash pocket. The wind had been down in the car. And there's shredded up paper in the glove box. And I knew we had ourselves a rat. And we were on a trip. We decided we wouldn't tell the kids. Got back home. I dug the back seat out. And there was a rat's nest with about 5 or 6 little rats. And I had to take them out and stomp them. Amen. And my wife said, don't kill him, don't kill him. I want you to know we started off poor. And some of you boys and girls might better remember some of that stuff is what you're going to get into if you're going to be without that self-will. Get rid of it. Amen. That husband you marry might not have a fancy car and a fancy job. That girl you marry, brother, she may not get all that and have all that. Hey, you might... I marry a hillbilly. Praise God, that'd be good for you anyhow. You hear me? And so it ain't the fancy stuff. You got to get the place where all that fancy stuff ain't no good. Idleness. Now let me just get into the second thing. I said not only self-will, but the second thing is self-confidence. Self-will brings on self-confidence. If you start living your life like you want to live it, I'll guarantee you the next thing you're going to do is you're going to start building confidence in yourself. And you remember I said this morning that the world says that you ought to have some self-confidence. The counselor set you down and said what you need to do is be confident, have some confidence in yourself. You have no confidence. And I also told you, you can search Genesis to Revelation and you'll never find in there where God is telling you you need self-confidence. God said, I want you to trust in me. I don't want you to just trust in self. You cannot trust in yourself. You've got to trust in Almighty God. Amen. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Now self-confidence, next thing you know, self-confidence teaches you to have self-trust. So you start trusting yourself to do everything. And then you get the big I in front of you hollering, I do this and I can do that. Amen. And some folks even quote scripture, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And brother, they're putting emphasis on I and not Christ. Amen. You can quote the scriptures and be wrong. I can do all things and leave off the last part of it. But I want to tell you the fact is tonight you cannot do nothing. Without me ye can do nothing. Without Christ you're unable. You're not qualified. You're not adequate. You're not capable of doing anything on your own. Brother, He does it all. Amen. You said, I teach Sunday school. No, you don't. The Lord does. You said, I preach. No, you don't. The Lord does. Or there's no such thing as preaching. Got to come from the Lord. Well, not only does it bring self-trust, but the next thing it does is bring self-effort. That self-confidence gives you self-effort. So you start doing, oh, I'll just do it. I can do anything. I used to go around the country doing a little bit of this and that. And here's what I'd say. Here's some of my famous words before I learned and before God poked them down my throat and choked me with them. I said, I can do anything anybody else can do. I used to say that. I sung that song. I guess my boys remember me saying, I can do anything anybody else can do. If they did it, I can do it too. I just might not do it as good as they do it, but I can do it. Amen. And then I realized the reason I was doing things that I couldn't see anybody else doing is sometimes God gave me some because it wasn't because I was capable, but because He given me the strength and the ability and the smartness and the mind and the soul to do those things. And that's what happens. We get the place to get that self-confidence. Amen. Self-trust. Self-effort. And when we get to all that place, guess what? We'll get self-dependent. Amen. And we start depending on self and not the Lord. That is a thing that's foreign to the Word of God. You need to let God do it. Amen. I want you to know that. Peter had a problem with self-will. And that's what made him deny the Lord. He got some self-trust. He got some self-confidence in himself. And his confidence was so strong. Now remember, he walked with the Lord for 3 years. He walked with the Lord 3 years, did he not? Okay, He watched all the things. And then one day the Lord said, "You're going to, I pray for you." Said, "The devil desires to sift you as wheat." And Peter said, "Well, I'll go with you, Lord, even to death." And the Lord said to him, "Peter, you don't know what you're talking about," basically what he said to him. He said, "Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me thrice or three times." Oh, no, I don't believe Peter thought he would. Peter, you know what happened? He had some self-confidence. He had some self-esteem. He had some self-trust. He had some self-dependence. He come to the place he thought he'd arrive to the place, "Hey, I will stay with you. There's nothing that's going to separate me from the Lord." Now, that's the difference between Peter and Paul. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God," and he could get over there and say, "Hey, I've experienced the Lord, and I found out one thing. There's nothing can separate me from the love of Christ." But Paul's saying, "Hey, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ." Why? Because Christ is going to love me all the time. Peter's saying, "I'll tell you right now, I've got it in my hand. I'm going to stay with the Lord." And he bragged about it. And next thing you know, the rooster's crowing. And you don't have to tap him on the shoulders and say, "What happened, Peter?" The Lord looked at him, and the Bible said Peter wept bitterly. And brother, he recognized he had done messed up. Now, when we get to that place, when we get rid of self-will, or have that self-will, and let it grow enough to give us self-confidence, the third thing is going to give us trouble. The third thing that's going to give us trouble is it's going to bring self-exaltation. It's going to put us up to we think we can run the whole show. And when you get to that place, it's going to be a little word called pride that you've got to get out of your kids when they're little, or they'll be full of pride when they get grown. And brother, that's what happens when we get in the place of self-exaltation, that we think we are masters of our own fate and we can do what we want to do. And we exalt ourselves. We have to get rid of that pride. Amen. Now that's another evidence of a Benoni. Amen. The sorrow part. Son of my sorrow. You'll make a Benoni tonight if you get full of pride. Amen. Pride. Did you know tonight a lot of our kids are full of pride? You don't believe it? They won't wear but certain clothes. Won't wear but a certain kind of shoes. They don't care whether they cost $450 or not. You can give them little rascals a $15 pair at Walmart or Kmart. I guess, I don't know where you can buy a $15 pair or not. Can you? Can you still get tennis shoes for $15? Amen. I don't like tennis shoes, period. But you go get them little brats of yours a $15 pair of tennis shoes. They'll look at you and say, "What are these? Where'd these come from?" And you tell them Walmart or Kmart, it's already a no-no. Had my grandson the other day, and took him, he said, "I want you to take me right down there and drop me off at that little store." And they called Nike. And I didn't go in with him. I let him run around in there a little bit and look and see if he'd seen anything he wanted. And I was hoping he didn't, because I heard them places are high. Amen. They got to have a certain... My boys used to want an Izod shirt. I don't know whether they make Izods anymore or not, but they wanted... I've got to have... Everybody at school's wearing Izods. So we found some that looked like they had a little Izod up here, a sticker, but it was different. They knowed it was different. But at a distance, some of them didn't know it. They thought this all right. Now you little youngins, listen to me. If you're in the rat race of this world to try to keep up with the Joneses, we got any Joneses in here? I'm not trying to knock your name. But if you're in this world trying to keep up with the crowd, the neighbors, I want you to know right now, stop it. Come down to where you really are. Most everybody who's got kids, and we've been raising youngins, all of us have, and we look at them, and they'll say this about us sometimes. They're above their race. What are they saying? They're saying, "Hey, we're wanting more than what we was raised with." And brother, that's not prestige. I'd rather spend my time wearing Just what I can pick up. Amen. I hear them advertise sometimes suits, and they'll say suits $400 and $500 and more. And I look at that and I thought, "Woo! I wouldn't want to preach in one of them. I sweat on one of them. I wouldn't want to. Hey, I wouldn't want to wiggle much in one of them kind of suits." Amen. I'm like the old black boy preaching. He had his notes in his shirt or his coat. And his preaching, his notes fell off because the people didn't want. And he said, the man after God's own heart, and he's going to look and see who it was, is David. And he said, J.C. Penney. I'll just take some J.C. Penney suits. You with me? Pride. Pride. Spell it with me. P-R-I-D-E. Amen. And this is not a pep rally. I want you to get in your mind tonight that it's pride. Pride will take you down. Pride will put you where you don't need to be. Amen. It'll do things to you tonight that you don't need to be in. Get you to a place. And so it comes up to the last place. I want you to know what happens to you in that self-exaltation. Brother, those are three things. Self-will, self-confidence, and self-exaltation. We need to stay away from adults, kids, children, men, women, boys, girls. We need to stay away from them three things. Need to crucify ourselves. All right, guess what? Looking at that, I want you to stop and think about something else. We need to get this out of our lives now, if it's there, whether you be young or old. But all you parents need to make sure you get this out of your children's hearts before they're grown. And one of it is this business of their temper. Make sure their temper is under control. Listen, that's where we're at today. That's why these boys are going into places with guns and killing people. Listen, they got a bad temper. You can say what you want to. Most of them's demon-possessed, and people don't like that when I say it. We've raised them to live for the devil. We hadn't taught them anything. You'll never catch a child of God that's sold out to God walking in any place of business taking lives of men and women. I never had no desire to do any of that. Brother, I believe people who are sold out to God and self is not the problem in their life and Jesus is number one. Brother, they'll give everybody else a respect. Amen. They won't run over them at Walmart. Brother, you can go to Walmart and get run over with a cart. Amen. Even the old people. They get on them little electric carts and they run all over you. My wife, she's bad to run over everybody. She can't drive one of them. Amen. And she'll come around the corner with like nearly doing a wheelie and the fellow, she nearly run over him and she'll say, "Excuse me." And I look at him and I think, "Oh, he wants to kill her." Amen. Brother, I want to tell you something tonight. You won't have no problem with your hatred if you'll get right with God and get self out of the way. And then you'll get the place of self-confidence. You'll get rid of that and you'll find out that the Lord is on. And you'll get rid of that self-exaltation and you'll quit trying to make yourself up in pride. Now the fourth thing that we need to get rid of in the children's life is not only ill temper and not only idleness, and not only in pride, but the fourth thing, and here causes all of this tonight, and this is it, it's called disobedience. Amen. Children with disobedience. They got a disobedient problem. Did you know you have the same problem? It's just on a bigger scale. Amen. We don't want to obey God either. If you want to plant, kids listen to me, if you want to plant thorns in your mom and daddy's pillow, just be disobedient. Brother, you'll do it. Anybody that's ever raised kids that did not follow what mom and daddy said, brother, it sticks thorns in their pillows at night to where they can't sleep. If you want to push daggers in their side, just be disobedient to your parents. Let me just tell you a little story. This happened a long time ago. And I've known this story for quite a while. But never had opportunity, even never had come up in a message. But two little old boys, one of them was about 14 and the other was about 10. They were brothers. And by the way, can I tell you this? I remember years ago when kids got to be about 16 or 18 years old, that seems to be when they give the trouble. Amen. And then I've noticed in my day that dropped down to about 15. And I've noticed in my day that's dropped down to about 14. And I've noticed in my day that it's dropped down to about 13. And I've noticed in my day that it's got down to around about 12. And brother, I'll tell you what, and I'm not picking on nobody. Don't know your house. I hadn't been looking in your windows. I'm not a peeping Tom. Got too much business from home. But did you know tonight that kids that from 10 to 12 years old start giving trouble with mom and daddy, and they'll do it in disobedience? Now, the reason they do it then is because they've got with it on up. Now, Roman Catholicism says, give us your children, and we'll take the children between 5 and 7, and if we can have them the first 5 to 7 years of their life, we will mold them to be what we want them to be. Your cults will do the same thing. Hey, when they're 14 and 15 and 16, don't you start trying to tell them what to do. Then it's too late. You'd be about like the mama that brought her 9-year-old son to the preacher and said, "Preacher, my son is 9 years old. When you think should I have? When should I start disciplining him with the rod?" Of course, if he'd been a modern preacher, he'd have said, "Oh no, you don't do that no more." But she went to a preacher old-fashioned like, and he said, "Ma'am, you're too late." Amen. You start, brother, soon. And I know we're living in a time, and I'm not here trying to advocate tonight whipping children. I raised mine, and I did what I did. Amen. And I know it's not in the Bible, but you think it is. Spare the rod and spoil the child. I busted your bubble, didn't I? It's not in the Bible. It just said, "He that spares the rod hateth his son." That's even worse. You don't whip him, you don't love him. My daddy used to tell me, "I'm going to do this, but I love you. I love you," and I thought to myself, I don't believe my daddy is telling the truth. He was an honest man. And then on the top of that, the worst part of it, he'd say, "This is going to hurt me, son. Worse it is going to hurt you." And brother, when I had stripes on my backside, I got to look, and he didn't have none. And I'm a whining and crying and sobbing. And he says, "Shut up and quit crying, or I'll give you something to cry about." Now, you little youngins, you've been raised different than I was. Amen. Some of you don't know what I'm even talking about. You said, "Boy, you must have had a child abuser for a daddy." Amen. I love my daddy. He's gone to be with God now, but I don't regret anything. I'd love to have him back today. You hear me? But these two little boys, 1 14, 1 10, daddy had told them that there's something they couldn't do on Sunday, something other, I don't remember what it was, the story went, and he wanted to do something on Sunday. He said, "Son, you cannot do that on the Lord's day. I will not have it. We're not going to do it." And this boy got so mad, I guess he's run his four-wheeler. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But anyhow, he said, "You're not going to do it." And that 14-year-old boy just got mad as he could be. And he talked it up with his brother. And he said, "What we're going to do, we're just going to leave this place." Seemed like when they get 10, 12 years old, it seems to be a manly thing for a boy to rise up and fight the old man. I don't reckon I ever call my daddy old man. It seems like now when they get between 10, 12, and 13, that it seems to be a womanly thing to do for a young lady to rise up against her mother. That seems to be what the society says. Getting quiet in here. Amen. But I don't draw back. I want to preach the truth. I've faced these things. I've seen these things. It's as plain as a nose on your face. Okay, so they decided they're going to leave. He said, we'll go down to the shipyard to live close to sea. We'll go down to the shipyard and we're going to get us a ship. We're going to get on board a ship and we're going to go. And we're leaving the old man. So they slipped out of the house, went down to the shipyard, and come to a fella, and he said, I want to leave. We want to get away. What do you want to get away? We want to get away from Daddy. And the old sea captain there said, well, I'll tell you what. I don't mind taking you. But he said, you got to go down the third building down here and talk to this guy first before I take you. And so they went down to see him. When they went in there, they found out he was a preacher. And said that preacher began to preach to him pretty strong. And began to talk to him. Said, what do you want to leave for? Said, well, he's just a dictator. Won't let us do nothing. Won't let us have no fun. Won't let us do this. He stopped us. Won't let us do this on Sunday. And the preacher said, well, fellas. He said, I've seen a lot of people leave off the shore here. For the very same things about what you're going for. And he said, I want to tell you something. Some of them have never come back. He thought he'd scare them. Said that some of them's got their life all messed up. And he said, you better stop and think about it. And so he shook them up and they got out of there. And the little 14-year-old started talking to the 10-year-old. And the 10-year-old said, I ain't leaving. I ain't going out to that sea and not coming back. I'm going back to Daddy's. I'm going back to the house. And he took off. The 14-year-old said, I think I'll just go. And he did. He got on the ship without a ticket, left, and nobody seen him for years and years and years and years. But one day, he got a call and said, we want you to go see a fella in the jail down here. And he went down to see him because the man is in jail, had sent for him. And when he got in there, he looked at him and he said, preacher? He said, yes. He said, do you remember me? And he said, no, I don't believe I do. He said, I was one of them boys you talked to and told us one time. He said, I remember you now. He said, well, I left. And I've been out at the sea. And said, I got to another place over here and got involved in sin. Got involved in alcohol. And I began to start stealing. And next thing you know, I killed somebody. And preacher, they're going to put me to death. And I want to tell you something. It's all because of disobedience. Beloved, I want you to know tonight, you can disobey your parents and go any way you want to. But I want to give you something. There are only two lives that's recorded in the Word of God. It's the life that you live for the Lord and the life that you live for the devil. It's self-life or the Christ life. And you better choose which one you want. And it's hard to get rid of this stuff. What I'm preaching on tonight, self-will, self-confidence, and self-exaltation are three things that are hard to get rid of. You see, you love you more than you love anybody else in the world. Can I get a good amen there? Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the Lord. If you don't love the Lord more than you love yourself tonight, I want you to know you've got a problem up front. Now, I've said a lot of stuff tonight that I pray that God will let you think on, because I've said some things and I know tonight it didn't register good. And I pray when you lay down on your bed tonight that God will get a hold of you. You see what happened? Peter said this in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 72. And again he denied with an oath. And he said, I do not know the man. Now let me give you this. Self tonight changed an archangel and made a devil out of him. self took two innocent parents, Adam and Eve, and caused them to leave and lose a perfect environment and cast them out into a sin-cursed world. And I want to tell you, self has caused me more problems and grief than anything else I've ever faced. It's caused more failures in my life. Now in closing, I want us to go to one more portion of Scripture found in Genesis chapter 39. Now I preached on the negative side of this, and I haven't preached on the positive side. So I believe that coming to the positive side is something we need to close with. And I don't have time to give proper, I guess, identification to it. But in Genesis chapter 39, I want us to read some verses, and I'm going to comment on them as we go down. We have changed from Rachel and Jacob, and now we're picking up one more creature, or another person, I should say. And Joseph was brought down. Let me tell you something, the devil's always wanting to bring down. Was brought down to Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. I want you to know Joseph, in this case, did not have a desire to go to Egypt. He was sold into slavery. And Potiphar, and if you're not careful, you'll think Potiphar's the ruler of the land, but you'll see what he is. He's an officer of Pharaoh. He's also a captain of the guard. He's an Egyptian. Bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which you've heard about, how they put him out, or as his brothers put him in a pit, and the Ishmaelites got him out of the pit, and they sold him to Egypt, which had brought him down thither. That word brought down is mentioned twice, or not brought down, but the word down is brought down in the first part of it, and down thither in the last part. The devil wants to take God's people down. Now I want to tell you something. Everybody in here who has public jobs, you have to face the public. And you got a local job, or you got a job in the distance, whatever you got. If you got a job, chapter 39 tells you exactly how you ought to operate on that job. Boys, one of these days you're going to have to work. I said, boys, one of these days you're going to have to work. Now, I don't usually talk to girls about working. They ought to stay at home. Amen. I don't care what you think about it, and I know most of you ladies work in here, and I'm not on here with a rod beating you on the head. And I know the reason we have to work is because we lack things. We may have to cover our couch in some noggers that we ain't never seen. If we work, our wives don't work. Amen. I've been in homes, some people had to prop them up on bricks and blocks. Matter of fact, I've lived with something like that. Amen. You get down in your recliner chair, and if you ever recline it back one time, brother, just about takes a crane to get you out of it. It's wore out. Amen. I go in these homes, they got these immaculate recliners. Looks like nobody's ever set them. You come over and look at mine, it's sitting back sideways. Amen. It's had a load on it for a long time. All right. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. I like that. He's in Egypt. You're in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're pilgrims passing through. Amen. Right. And the Lord was with Joseph. Where was he with him? Down in Egypt. And he was a prosperous man. Hey, God will make you prosperous if you'll follow him. And he was in the house of his master, Egypt, the Egyptian. Now, he was a slave, but he's also a master. Did you know God can make a slave also a master? Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Did you see this? The Bible said in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. Verse number 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. You're working on a job down there, I'll guarantee you, they'll see if the Lord's with you or not. And that the Lord made all that He did to prosper in His hand. Did you know if you're living for God and doing what you ought to and down on your job, you ought to demonstrate Christ and not self. And that boss man will see that you are exalting the Lord. And they'll see that the Lord's with you. And verse number 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. Why did he find grace in the sight of Potiphar? Because he had already found grace in the sight of God. And he served him. Served him. You know what a servant is? You do what they want you to do, when they want you to do it, the way they want it done. And you don't try to do it your way. Amen. And you don't try to argue that that's not on your job description. I know I've worked with people and I was their supervisor. And they said, but that's not on my job description. You've heard what I've told you about my daddy. My daddy said, I don't care when you go to work for him. You're hired out to them. Whatever they want you to do, they own you. You do it. If you don't want to do it, quit. Amen. Amen. And then I knew better than that because I come home, he's going to get me. Because he had that same philosophy that some of your parents did. You go to school and get a whipping, and I find out about it, I'm going to give you one when you get home. You wind up in jail, don't call me. That's what Daddy said. I never did get in jail. I believed him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Amen. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph. Say, listen, the ungodly employers will love to have you. If you've got God on you and God is prospering you and God begins to prosper them because of you, they want to keep you. They don't want to get rid of you. Now, boys, you get a job one of these days. You be the best thing they've got. Uh-oh, got quiet again. Amen. And if they've got principles that's against the Word of God, then you'll have to deal with that. That's a horse of a different color. If they're asking you to do things and they want it done, I mean, they wanted you to sweep it with a red broom, don't you pick up a brown broom. They want blue paint put on the wall, don't argue with them and try to put purple. Amen. They want you to work 6 hours. Work 6 hours. Give them 6 hours or 8 hours. Don't deadbeat. Steal the shop towels when you're going home. And the ballpoint pens off the desk. Woo, I may get shot before I get out of here. But it said, bless the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. You know what happened? Look at that. All that he had in the house and in the field. God not only blessed what is in Potiphar's house, but he blessed the field. Inside and out. How about that? In verse number 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hands. You know why they like to trust God's people? Because they won't steal the shop towel. Amen. They won't steal the boats, amen, that they had left over. Put them in their pocket. If some of you folks are working on public jobs, I'd go to your house and find all kinds of things that you've accumulated for years. Amen. Johnny Cash even sung about it, and I'm not for Johnny Cash. But he built an automobile. Amen, the old song said. Amen. Got me? And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. He didn't even know what he did have. The only thing this man had that he knowed of was the bread which set before him to eat. That's all he knowed. But he had everything he wanted. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to make it good, now they may look at you and say, well, he's the boss's pet. And he's climbing the ladder of success. And he don't care what. No, you don't have to do anything contrary to the Word of God. Just live for God and get rid of self. And God will put you where He needs to put you. I'll tell this story. And this is a true story. Amen. They want to tell our. Don't believe in lying. But I was down on a public job. And I watched God do this. And the employer, he come in, the supervisor, the general manager, they changed general managers. And they put him in there. And he'd get all the supervisors together, department heads, and he'd say, "Your job must be number one. And if you don't have number one as your job, the best thing you do is go find you another job." I heard that story over and over and over. And so, pastoring at a funeral one day. And I had to leave at 12 o'clock. And I wouldn't be back in the afternoon because I had to go preach it. I had to go home, dress up in my suit, get to the funeral home, preach the funeral, go to the cemetery, and be with the family. Lost man died, and I'd been witnessing to him. He didn't get saved, but he had requested I preach his funeral. So I went in, and I told the plant manager that morning, "I'm going to be gone at 12. I've got a funeral this afternoon." He says, "All right." 5 minutes to 12, he pages me out of the plant and says, "Come in here. We've got a problem with New York." And I was an liaison between us and New York, and I had to deal with the problems, and I knew what we had there and more than anybody else because that was my job. He said, "We got a problem, so we're going to get on a three-way conversation with New York and try to straighten this out." And I looked at him and I said, and called his name, and I said, "I've got a funeral at 12. I've got to be at home by 12:30, and it's going to take me a little time to get ready, and I got to be at the funeral home at 12:30. And then he said to me, "Then you've got a choice to make." I said, "Yes, sir, I have. I made that choice a long time ago. God is number one in my life. My job is number two. And this job is number three. My family," I said, "number two. My Lord is number one." He said, shoved his chair back and hit the wall. He said, "Then you've got a choice to make today." I said, "I made that choice a long time ago." I said, "God is number one, my family is number two, and my job is number three." And he said, "Don't push me. I'll give you a lot of slack." And I said, "I'm not pushing you, sir." He said, "Well, we can get rid of this in just a minute." Took us about 5 minutes, straightened it out. I went on and preached the funeral. But from that day on, he was after me. So then he tried to replace me. And he brings in some men, bring them in, they try to get some jobs done, and he's going to take me out. He come to me and he said, "On Monday we're going to change things around. And we're going to put somebody into your equal come Monday morning." I said, "That's fine with me. Fine, whatever you want to do." I had no problem with whatever they wanted to do. I was there making a living for my children. And said, "Monday morning we got a big meeting. And we're going to solve things and we're going to straighten." And guess what? Saturday went across. I didn't let it worry me. Went on to church and preached on Sunday morning. And my secretary called me on Sunday afternoon. She said, "Guess what?" Called his name. Said he dropped over today with a heart attack. He was the one that brought in to straighten out things. And they buried him on Tuesday. And they never changed me. I seen that happen three times. Every time it happened, I thought about Joseph. All you've got to do, ladies and gentlemen, men especially, when you go to your job, do your job just what they tell you to do. Do it in the best of your ability and do it as unto the Lord and glorify God and exalt God and lift Him up in everything that you do. And I'll guarantee you, God will bless you. Amen. If you're looking for a perfect job, run from it when you find it. Because you will mess it up. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just like trying to find a perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church, when you find it, don't join it. Amen. Amen. I held you. I knew I'd going to be a little long on this one too. There needs to be a lot of preaching on what I preached on today. And we'll get back to some more of this. And this year I want to try to deal with a home more than I've ever dealt with it. Let's stand. Now, we got some mamas and daddies in here. I'm sure you need some instruction from the Lord. We got some young people and some children in here. I know you need some instruction from the Lord. You can find it right here. The altar's open. And they're playing the right song. I surrender all. I surrender all. Not part of it, not just some of it, but surrender everything to God tonight, and I'll guarantee you everything will work out fine for you. I promise you that. Matter of fact, God's Word promises you that.